1 John chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world." Verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment." Isn't that the truth? "He that feareth is not made perfect in love." And then verse 19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." Today I want to preach to you on this subject, turning fear's torment. Turning fear's torment. Amen. During this time of quarantining, there's been a lot of jokes about how much we are eating. And I've even said it a few times that I was working on the quarantine 15. And my wife got on to me about that. She said, there's power in your words. So I don't say that anymore. And I'm cutting back and I'm doing more exercise. Although, you see, that's not really the problem. You see, the problem really is her. And it's actually my wife. It's not me. Because if you don't know this, she is a tremendous cook. And she's been cooking me breakfast and sometimes lunch and dinner every night. And you see, I don't really have a problem with eating junk food. I like good food, and she's been making me some good food. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for it. But what we feed grows. What we feed grows. What we feed flourishes. What we feed gets stronger. And for just a few moments today, I want to turn our attention away from physical food, and let's talk about something else that is being fed through all of this that we are going through, and that is fear. Fear. I have to preface this by saying that, yes, this is serious, and there are many people who have been sick from this. So many have died from this, people that we know, people that we are connected to. This is a real thing. Obviously, it's one of the most trying things that our world has been through in our lifetime, and that's why we're social distancing, and that's why we're having church online. That's why we need to protect ourselves and wear masks and disinfect and sanitize and wash your hands. But beyond that, what we find is that we are feeding something that can be very damaging to our lives, and that is fear. This week I caught the comments of Dr. Phil, who of course is not a medical doctor, but is a former psychologist and now is a television show host. And he's been very, very popular, but he's really caught some flack this week. Isn't that something, how popular you can be and until what you say doesn't fit the agenda? And I checked out what he said. They talked about how a new pandemic is spreading through all of this, and it's a pandemic of anxiety and fear. And the longer that this lockdown goes on, the more vulnerable that people get. He quoted some statistics. He said that people who suffer from loneliness are 29% more likely to have heart issues, 30% more likely to have strokes, 40% to experience dementia if they are in certain age groups. They discuss the impact of that all of this is having upon children and being out of school, and parents aren't trained as teachers. They're stressed out too, and now they're doing their best to help kids with schoolwork and maybe some stuff that the kids are learning that they don't even understand. I did learn something this week, and Colt was... He was at home working on some schoolwork, and he asked for my help. And so I looked at what he was doing there, and I verified that he had the right answer. But when he clicked it, we were both surprised, and lo and behold, we were both wrong. And so this week we learned about serial commas, or Oxford commas, I believe they are called. And basically, they are unnecessary commas before a coordinating conjunction. Now, I don't know if you needed to know that information, but I've learned it this week. And in this lesson that he was going through, they wanted him to put these commas, these unnecessary commas. And I looked at that sentence and I thought, well, there's no way, we don't need a comma there. That's not necessary. But it's something how things change. So I guess we're all going to school during this time. But with all of this going on, parents and kids and husbands and wives and senior citizens, there's so much stress all around, and along with a very real situation that our world is dealing with right now, it is also feeding fear and anxiety in people's hearts. And domestic abuse is rising, as is drug abuse. 22 million jobless claims in this past month. It is a crazy, crazy time. What is the biggest fear? The biggest fear that someone generally will have? Well, and really all of the fears can be linked to this fear. The biggest fear is the fear of dying. Obviously, that is a fear that many people have right now. And what's another major fear? Being alone. And that's happening. Well, let me ask us this. What's worse than being afraid of dying? And what's worse than being afraid of being alone? Dying alone. Think about that with me today. And due to this virus and to the restrictions that our hospitals have right now, that is a very real fear in the lives of people today, that they will get this virus and they'll have to go in the hospital and that they will die all alone. And it's happening. It's a real thing. I'm not saying that these fears are unjustified. All obviously, it's happening. There's very real things here. And I've faced even them through this. I've heard the voice of fear that has spoke to my heart. And the fuel for fear, it is all in this, in what we are going through. And it is affecting people who have never been afraid before in their lives. One thing that I did take away from the comments of Dr. Phil is that during this, the best thing that we can do is to keep up a routine. To get up in the morning and get dressed and exercise and maintain a routine and keep our minds busy. Of course, I would add that we need to be praying and we need to be reading our Bibles and spending time with the Lord. That those are the ultimate remedies for fear. And another thing, we need to limit our exposure to the media. Do you understand that the media of today has an agenda? Now I'm not going to get all off into conspiracy theories and all of that today, but it's obvious. First of all, you got to realize negative news sells. It's the negative that keeps people's attention. And where are the positive stories through all of this? We saw endless reporting from other countries as they were going through such a serious time. And now that some of those other countries are improving, we don't see one bit of attention given to it. And now that some areas of our own country are beginning to recover, there's no coverage of it at all in the media. Our media has an agenda, and they are doing their best to feed fear. You see, there is power in fear. There is power in fear. You've heard the story from the African savanna where the lions will wait in the tall grass for a chance to prey on a grazing herd. In preparation for the hunt, the lions will send the oldest and the weakest members of the pride. They'll send them away from the rest of the hunting pack, and having lost so much of their strength and many of their teeth, the roar of those old lions is usually far greater than their ability to bite. And so those old lions will go off and they'll settle in the grass directly across from where the strong lions wait and watch. And as the herd enters the area between them, those old lions will roar mightily. And at the sound of their roar, the herd will panic. And blinded by fear, they turn and they flee. They flee from what they sense is the source of the danger. And as they rush wildly in the opposite direction, they run right into to where the strongest lions are waiting in the grass. I'm not saying that there's not danger. Obviously, many have died and many have been affected by this. But I'm telling you, there is fear that goes along with this, and there is power in fear. Our text today says that fear hath torment. Isn't that the truth? Fear hath torment. Fear, it's tormenting. I'm not telling you that we don't need to socially distance. I'm not saying don't wear a mask and don't be careful. Yes, do those things. But I feel today that we need to minister to your fears in the midst of all of this, because fear hath torment. And there are many who have done everything that they know and everything they've been told and educated about to be safe, but still they are so fearful and they are miserable right now. They're so anxious and afraid, and oh, how that scripture is so true. They are tormented because of the power that fear has over their life. Well, I'm not talking to you about something that I don't understand. Even in this, there has been times that my sleep has been affected, and I've wondered how everything is going to turn out and what to do and what not to do. And I've heard that voice of fear speak to me in this. But I tell you, we must stand up to fear, and we must overcome it. And we must view our lives as being in the hand of Almighty God. And whatever comes to us, it must first be approved by Him. And He has our best interest in mind. I reach to you today, if you are struggling with fear, if you have anxiety, if you are tormented by the fear that's in all of this, if you're worried about your health and your finances and your family and your future, I don't have all the answers for all of those questions, but one thing I know, and that is this: we can find safety in our relationship with God. And even in the middle of the storm, we can find comfort, and we can have shelter, and we can receive peace in the midst of trouble. Thank the Lord for that. How do we overcome fear? If this is something that fits what you are going through, I also want to recommend that you go to our website, harvestm.com, and listen to my sermon from May 19th, 2019. It's called A Time to Kill a Dragon Called Fear. I believe it will be a blessing to you. But today, let me give us four steps to overcoming fear. First of all, stand still. Stand still. You see, fear will make you want to run. It'll make you want to escape. Fight or flight kicks in because of the perceived danger, whether it's real or not. And naturally and chemically, our body either wants to fight or it wants to run. And since this is an invisible battle, we don't know what to fight. And so then we want to run. But to overcome fear, we have to stand still. Don't run. Resist that urge to flee. Plant your feet solid. Take a deep breath and say, I can handle this. Oh, but I can't handle it, Pastor. I'm about to lose it, you think? I want to tell you, no, you aren't. No, you aren't. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And God saw this before you ever got here. And He knew that we were going to face this before it ever happened. And He has faith in us that we can come through this, and He will give us the strength to make it. Don't you listen to all the lies of the enemy. Don't you run in fear, but stand still and trust God and declare, I can make it with God's help. Hallelujah. Secondly, we have to cast some things down. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 tells us, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If we're going to overcome fear, then we've got to cast down the imaginations that come to our mind. You see, our minds will, they will run wild with fear if we will let them. We tend to automatically fear the worst in any situation. But anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God has to be cast down. Thoughts that are opposite to what God's word declares. We have to cast down imaginations and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When panic sets in, and we think, well, I just can't make it, and I'm going to lose my mind, I'm going to go crazy, and I can't do this, and I'm going to die, and whatever it is that fear is speaking to our lives, we have to bring those thoughts into captivity. Stop repeating those things, and stop declaring fear, and start declaring the word of God that is true. When fear declares, well, I just can't make it anymore, we have to shut that down. We have to turn right back in the face of fear and declare, oh, yes, I can make it, because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you gotta cast those things down. Have you ever heard of acting on faith? Sometimes we have to act on faith. Thirdly, you got to choose faith. Choose to act on faith. Because sometimes we don't have much else to go on. We don't have the answers. We don't know the way out. But we have to act on faith. Now, don't act on flesh and call it faith. Some people do that, and then they want to blame God when they get themselves into trouble. But acting on faith is not the same as acting on flesh and calling it faith. No, faith is acting on what we've prayed about. Faith is acting on what we've heard from the Lord about. If we're not praying, I want to tell you, if you are not praying, then fear has free rein to attack our minds. If we're not reading the Word of God, then fear can fill us with all kinds of crazy thoughts. But when we have prayed and when we are in the Word and when we have heard from God, we can act in faith. We can act in boldness. We declare things by faith. Go ahead, somebody, and choose faith. Today, we reject fear. We do not give place to fear. We're not going to be controlled by fear, but we choose faith. Hallelujah. So stand still, cast down imaginations, choose faith, and then fourth, thank God. Thank God. Amen. To cast down a negative thought, we need to replace it with a positive thought. Something encouraging from God's word. Something uplifting. Whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think about how big God is. Come on, when you're feeling overwhelmed and you feel that fear come upon you, start thinking about how big God is. He's bigger than whatever trial we are facing. He is bigger than this virus. He is bigger than our whole world. And start thanking God for everything you can think of. Thank Him for this day. Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for my family. I thank You for the blood. I thank You for the Holy Ghost. I thank You for forgiveness. I thank You for healing in my body. I thank You for deliverance today. Thank Him for taking away your fear and giving you peace. Thank Him for giving you love and power and a sound mind. Thank Him for His goodness, for His excellent greatness, for His power, for His salvation. Thank Him for His angels that encamp round about you. And then something begins to happen as we thank God and as we turn our focus onto Him, as we get our eyes off of the things of fear and we get our eyes on how big God is. His presence will begin to surround us and we will feel the calm of His Spirit. I tell you, there is no fear in Him. And so if you can get in the presence of God, it drives fear away. Oh, come on, right there where you are right now. Let's invite the presence of God to fill that room, to fill that house, to drive away the fear that we are experiencing. We thank you, Lord, for faith right now. We thank you for peace right now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In closing today, I want to give you some ways to turn fear's torment. See, fear does not come from the Lord. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Ultimately, fear comes from the devil. When we operate according to God's word, when we stand still and cast down imaginations, when we choose faith, when we get lost in thankfulness to God, when we do those things, we can overcome fear. We can become so full of God's love that His perfect love casts out fear. We find ourselves safe in the arms of God. But more than that today, I want to give us some ways that we can turn fear's torment. You see, there's no doubt some watching today that fear has tormented you for a long time. Before all of this came on, that fear was, this is an old battle that you have faced for many years. And I believe that not only does God want to deliver you from fear today, but He is going to allow you to torment your tormentor. He wants you to torment your tormentor. See, the devil has tormented us long enough, and by faith, we are going to take that torment and we're going to turn it back to him. Did you know the devil has fears? Yes, the devil has fears. We need to get our attention today off of everything that we fear, and we need to start reminding the devil of all the stuff that he fears. That's how you can torment the devil. You turn it around. You don't accept it any longer. But you turn that torment right back around and you send it back to where it came from. Let's look today at what the devil fears. First of all, the devil fears people who worship in the midst of a trial. That is something that torments him, because not only does he hate the worship of God, but it takes away his power over people through fear. There's something so powerful about worship in the middle of a trial. When the devil's been trying to convince us to give up and to curse God and to throw in the towel, and instead, when everything is not going our way, we say, God, you are worthy of praise no matter what I'm going through. And so I praise you in the storm. I praise you in the sickness. I praise you in my suffering. I praise you in the middle of my trial. I may not have the money to pay all the bills. I may be trying to just figure everything out right now, but this one thing I know and this one thing I will do, I'm not going to let anybody steal my praise. I'm not going to let anyone steal my worship. Hallelujah. Here's the thing about worship. Worship gets the attention of God. It attracts His presence. And if in the middle of our trial, we feel all alone and we feel helpless and we feel lonely there in that place, but if in the middle of our trial, we can begin to worship God and get His presence to surround us, then we can make it through anything. I tell you, the devil fears people who worship God in the middle of their child. Somebody right there in the middle of your living room, you need to start worshiping God. You need to start giving Him praise. You need to start thanking Him there in the middle of this circumstance you're going through. I know we can't meet together, but right there in your home, you can turn that place into the habitation of God. Come on, you can turn that fear and you can torment the devil. He's thrown everything He knows at you. He's used every fear and every lie and every attack. But instead of giving into it, you're going to worship God in the middle of that trial, in the middle of that circumstance. Come on, somebody. You need to torment the devil a little bit. God, you are able. God, you are worthy. We worship you and we lift you up here today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God loves worship. God loves worship. He inhabits the praises of His people. I can feel His presence here. I'm all alone here right now, but you're there and we're together in the Spirit right now. And God is inhabiting the praises of His people. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What else does the devil fear? He fears people who witness to others about the goodness of God. The devil's not afraid about those who go on and on about their troubles, about all their shortcomings and failures, and about how so-and-so was so bad to them. But no, the devil doesn't fear that, but he does fear those with the testimony. Revelation 12 and 11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." The devil fears your testimony. He fears your witness. He fears it because that's how you overcame. You're going to overcome him. That's how we overcome. Stop letting your fears keep you down when God has given you a testimony. Come on, He's brought you out of some things. He's healed your body. He's blessed your family. He's delivered you. Stop focusing on the negative and begin declaring the testimony of all that God has done for you. Tell somebody about it. Spread faith. Don't spread fear, but spread faith. Amen. Did you know that fear is contagious? Fear is contagious. It catches on just like a virus. Fear is contagious, but so is faith. Faith is contagious. Start spreading faith and torment the devil with the word of your testimony. Talk about what God has done for you and tell somebody about it. And I just feel like God notices it when we do that. And when He knows that we're going to take His blessings and turn them into testimonies, I believe that He will give us even more blessings just so that He can get the glory. Come on, somebody torment the devil today. Come on, somebody give praise unto God. It's the word of your testimony that's going to help you overcome. Hallelujah. Another thing the devil fears, the name of Jesus. Oh, the name. There's no other name like the name of Jesus. Why does the devil fear it? Because it's higher than any other name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That includes the devil. He hates that. He's tormented by that, knowing that no matter what he does, no matter how hard he fights it, no matter how much trouble he causes, he knows there is coming a day that he is going to have to bow at the name of Jesus. If you are battling fear, you need to see how many times you can declare the name of Jesus in a day. Come on, you start declaring the name of Jesus and watch the atmosphere around you begin to change, because fear has to bow at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, let me tell you about something today that makes the devil shake in his boots. Come on, are you ready for this? It makes the devil shake. If you want to torment the devil, you begin to talk about one God. James 2:19 says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well." The devils also believe and Tremble. Tremble. Hey, somebody, that's why it's so powerful to know who Jesus is. That's why Jesus said to Peter that on this rock I'm going to build my church. It was on the rock of revelation of who he was. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Somebody needs to torment the devil a little bit today. Come on. Somebody needs to take a step of faith and make the devil tremble a little bit right now. And quote that scripture with me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Take that fear and turn it back and torment the devil with something that makes him tremble. Praise the Lord. Here's something else the devil fears. Hell. Oh, that's a good thing to fear. But if we've been born again, we don't have to fear hell. The Bible tells us that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And he studied Bible prophecy more than anybody else, and he knows what's coming. You want to torment the devil, you talk to him about hell. You talk to him about how the blood of Jesus has saved you from hell. And that when that fear comes on you and you feel that torment, you turn that around and you talk to the devil about how he's going to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and how he's going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Come on, it's about time that you've had enough of this. It's about time that you get fed up with fear. It's time that you stop letting fear come and torment you. And you turn that around. God is going to give you victory over fear today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I realize that this is a serious time. Yes, we need to be careful and we're doing that, but we've got to refuse to be bound and tormented by fear. If you've been battling a spirit of fear, we're going to take authority over that right now by the power of the Holy Ghost, and we're going to declare faith instead of fear. And I believe there's going to be some people today that turn that torment. You're going to turn fear's torment around. And instead of letting it torment you day and night, you're going to turn that around today and through your worship and through your witness and testimony and by declaring the name of Jesus and that there is one God and rejoicing that God has saved you from hell. You're going to refuse fear today, and we're going to send it back to where it came from. Praise the Lord. Come on, are you ready? Are you ready to turn that torment of fear? Are you ready to resist it? Are you ready to let God fill you with peace and comfort and love? Oh, I'm thankful for his word, and we stand upon those promises today. Would you pray right where you are right now? God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your spirit. I praise you, God. I thank you for peace. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you, Lord, for the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And we worship you in what you are doing right now. I pray that you would bring peace and help to every home. Lord, you see the torment that fear has. We rebuke it right now. We take authority over the spirit of fear. God, you've not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we declare faith. We declare hope. We declare healing today. We thank you, Lord, for the comfort of your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the safety that you bring to your children. And we worship you for what you're going to do today. Bring faith. I pray. We rebuke fear. We resist fear. We cast it down. We refuse it today. God, you've not given us the spirit of fear. But Lord, we thank you for your love. Perfect love casts out fear. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want you to be encouraged today. You don't have to be bound by fear. Amen. You don't have to be controlled by fear. Yes, this is a serious time, and we're going to take every measure we can to be safe and to be wise. But on the other hand, we're not going to live by fear. We're going to live by faith, and we trust God. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you and appreciate you so much. Amen. Feel free to continue a time of prayer there with your family. We're looking forward to seeing you soon. God bless you today.